and Jules. This is the Nick and Jules podcast. Frustrated by the lack of disability support workers in your area? Visit carersolutions.com.au.
Hello, we're here for the podcast, Najay, Nick and Jules and M. And today it's Najaya because it's Nick and Jules and M and Annie. What's your professional name thing?
We go over title? This every time. It's brand experience lead.
Oh, yeah. And every time I go, that's dumb.
Yeah.
That's not a real job. Get a real job, Annie.
Like stick talker like us. A real job.
Right. Yeah. No, I'll look into that. I'll definitely
I mean, technically, you're kind of doing it right now. Wow. So
semi-professional, yes. Amateur stick talker.
I'll come on once a month and that will give me the cred to continue with my real job.
How often have you been on this podcast? This would be what, your second or third appearance?
Third, I think.
Yeah, wow.
It's a bit disrespectful that you're not counting, Annie. For someone that's a guest on the show, you should probably keep a
track of the honour.
It's the highlight of my life. Pretty much just whenever I'm not on it, that day just ceases to exist.
See, that's the type of thing we want to be hearing.
That's the kind of thing you need to say to stroke our egos.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, how many days have I worked? Oh, about three, because if I'm not on the podcast, essentially the day is worthless.
Love that. I mean, love to hear
that.
So
in your mind, you're 3 days old.
3 days old.
She hasn't lived until she's on the podcast.
What was my life? It wasn't a life.
Look, we're here because pre the podcast, we were just in our office, and you posed an interesting question.
I posed this. How hot does someone have to be to negate their boringness?
What's the hot to boring scale?
Mm. And as an expert in this topic.
Annie, you've got to get in
here. Well, you just happened to be in the room. You know, anyone could have been in the room. You know, the Uber delivery driver could have been in here like, hey, get in here. Otherwise, we won't give you 5 stars.
Nah, still 5 stars.
Do you think, on average, the average Uber delivery driver, or just Uber drivers, not just delivery, I suppose, boring or not?
Oh, yes. I've had some very interesting Uber drivers.
But I also think that, because in sheer numbers, I think that there's a lot more boring ones.
I would say the ratio is probably like 60-40.
That's great. Boring to interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Is it 60 boring or 60 interesting?
Yeah, I think 60 boring, 40 interesting.
I would have gone 80-20, but that's, you know, just on my experience.
I agree.
You're obviously taking rides in some interesting areas.
Well, no, I don't think it's, I think it's also like I'm one of those people that loves to chat. Right.
I am too, but they don't often have much to say in return is what I find.
It's because you don't give them a chance to jump in.
Oh, that's probably fair. Yeah, that's
because you get in and you monologue for 2.5 hours,
and then get to my destination. I'm like, wow, you were really just not participating in that conversation.
A bit one sided.
He's like, I've been on the phone this whole time.
1 star.
That's why my Uber rating's so low.
My Uber rating is 5 stars, by the way. 5 stars flat.
Ooh, I'm gonna check mine. I think mine is a high 4.
Mine's actually a high 4, which is funny considering
how high is your 4. Let's go.
It was 4.73 on the weekend.
Whip it out.
Hello.
Interesting.
All right, let's go. Mine's 4.84.
Not bad.
Can I? I would like proof of your 5.
Oh, I don't have my phone on me, but I will prove it to you off air once we jump back. It's a 5 flat.
He's never had an.
You've been
an
in one Uber.
Yeah, you literally.
It's because I beg, I cry before I leave. I say, please, man. You don't know what
I
it means.
This.
No, mine's gone down. I don't want to say what mine is.
What is it?
What is it?
It's 4.62.
4.62. It's not.
That means
terrible.
That, like, you know, you've taken. You mostly haven't pooed in their cars, but sometimes you do.
I do.
That one time you poo in a car.
There have been a few messes made. They weren't from that end of the body.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Recently?
But I've had Uber for quite a few. What? Huh? No, I said not that end of the body. Oh, I've thrown up in a few.
I view the poo body as a triangle. Two ends are exits, and one is the entry. Anyway, bring it back to the point of boring. the boring. How?
Here's the thing, right? Lucky that we're not boring. Because
this is exhilarating.
This has proven that while we're not hot, we are very interesting. So we're good. We're lovable.
Hang on. I'm not the one that's sitting behind a mic every day. I reckon I have a face for non-radio.
For brand experience.
For brand experience. I'm the one on the streets. That's they literally hired me to be out there.
And he's out on the streets if you see everyone.
Just selling my wares.
Mm. It is interesting because there are definitely people where I've gone. It's very, very rare have I met someone where I go, you're very attractive, but you are obviously incredibly boring.
Yeah.
To the point where I don't entertain it. To the point where I think I can recall on 2 occasions where I've met people I've gone, wildly attractive, but just nothing.
And did you still participate in a couple of dates? One date? How much time did you give them?
The fact that I couldn't have a date.
So specifically, how much time did you entertain?
One of them I worked with at a radio station in Queensland, and I was like, and she was really, she was lovely, but not interesting or smart.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you know, I can see why you were hired, because I knew the hiring manager, and I went, oh, gross. Okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah, a bit unfortunate, a little bit like that.
In recent times?
Last 5 years. Ooh, so, like, okay. You know, modern enough to where we should have been knowing better, but hey, here we are.
Moving on.
And the other person who I did date, and I was like, oh, that's, why are you here? Why did you agree? It's because I've got an incredible personality, but but yeah, after a few dates, it was like, this is really not enough. Like, you know, it's really not enough.
A few dates. See, this is interesting. I think that there's never, ever, there's no hotness level that can negate boring. I do think there's crazy. I think hotness can negate crazy, because crazy is at least interesting.
Yeah, crazy's not boring.
But boring, I think there's no, like, literally the hottest person in the world. Like, for example, I don't think I can say it. Really? Beyonce.
Sure.
I know.
So boring.
No, well, I do find her quite boring in like interviews and stuff.
Well, you would
she
be.
She might be the only one that has like.
Probably relies on her. I'm Beyonce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, if you had lived a life of that, the luxury that she has, you would have had, like, she probably had some adversity growing up, but the last 20 years, she would have had no adversity.
Mm.
I think you need that to have a little bit of something about you.
Oh, in the early 90s, she lost a talent competition to a boy band. They're Destiny's Children. No.
That was the other band?
I was like, wait adversity a minute. Just.
It was Destiny's Child before they were. They were called Girl something. Girl.
Fate's Kids.
Fate's Kids.
They were called something. Girl Time. They were called Girl Time, I think.
Wow.
And they lost to, I believe it was a boy band. Mm. They lost this talent show to the boy band. And I strongly believe that has definitely stayed with her. That's stuck with her.
Spiteful. Towards all boy bands.
Probably.
It's true. Beyonce doesn't really do many boy band team-ups. I wonder if that's part of it.
That's so true.
Yeah.
It's a really valid point. But yeah, so she's probably the one that could get away with it. But other than that, yeah, Beyonce
no
is
one's
the...
hot enough to be that boring.
I think.
Yeah,
but
right.
But crazy, I think crazy is a little bit allowed.
Yeah, well, crazy keeps you on your toes. Crazy,
yeah, exactly.
Crazy is not boring.
Exactly, that's right.
Crazy is the exact opposite of boring.
And it comes back to that scale of like how long of a time will you spend with someone. If they're boring, obviously no time in this case. But if they're crazy, maybe you'll entertain it for a bit. But then the hotness, crazy. Like at what point do you go, okay, it's not hot enough to continue?
I would think that for you two, speaking as you've both dated men in the past, that guys tend to be, if you want to talk about, I guess, statistically, I think there are more attractive, boring men than there are more attractive, boring women.
True.
Because guys, when, like, the attractive guys that I know, almost routinely dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know a couple that aren't, but, like, generally, a lot of them, the majority of them tend to be some version of stupid or boring. I think stupid tends to lend itself to boring as well in certain.
Do you think?
Because in some instances,
stupidity is pretty entertaining. Like,
yeah,
I
would agree.
Yeah.
I think it's like from a spectator's point of view, but when you're engaging
true.
With it, it goes, oh God, we can't be doing
true.
This.
True. So let's flip it, right? How unattractive would you go if the person is super interesting?
Oh, needs. Nah, I couldn't do it either.
Really?
Well, yeah, that is the thing,
I'm
you know?
Really shallow. Well, not really shallow.
Like, unfortunately, there needs to be some of that at the start of anything, right? Like, that's sort of the point.
Otherwise, you know, make for a great friend.
Yeah.
Okay. Someone's really entertaining, great personality.
What a democratic thing to say. I do see...
You're if they're ugly, they're not even my friend. Get them out of here.
I got no time for Argos. I do see...
Please, can we please take that grab
that.
And play it on air?
I do see from time to time... like dating apps to try to start up, and their whole thing is they go apps like Tinder and even Hinge and Bumble and those sorts of ones where it's all photo based, like, oh, it's all like, you know, attractive contest effectively. And so they're like, our thing is we're personality based, so we don't even show you photos. And I go, that's equally as bad.
Yeah. I gotta agree on that. Like but dating apps, I'll swipe through, and if they're, you know, not attractive, won't.
You won't even entertain. It's like, dating is the one judge a book by its cover, unfortunately, to a degree.
Well, Well, in that case, it's hard enough to judge someone's personality. And then if you get on there and you're, okay, I'm going to give someone a chance based on the fact that I'm not particularly attracted to, it's very hard to flip that opinion specifically on a dating app.
But surely you've met people that you weren't necessarily physically attracted to in the beginning, and then once you've got to know them more, you've become more attracted to them.
Certainly, there's certainly people where I've been like, God, if only you were a bit hotter.
Really though?
Yeah.
Like it never has gone to a point where you're like, actually, you're so interesting, and I've really like gained an attraction to you outside of the physical.
Yeah, because I do. Well, just because I think that needs to be that. Like for me, at the very least, there needs to be some semblance of like physical attractiveness before I could ever like, you know, hey, let's do something like this.
It's interesting
to some degree. It's not like the be all and end all, but like if it's not there at all, then like
think it can grow.
Growing to find someone physically attractive. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess I've never really thought about it like that.
Yeah, that's my question. I suppose I find it interesting.
In modern times with, you know, again, the dating app thing and, you know, dating being so like quick and transactional that it's like you very rarely give them that opportunity to be like, maybe they are. Maybe like, you know, they look like a one to me today, but next week could be a 2.5.
Yeah, I guess that is something that the...
Still quite low, unfortunately.
Yeah. No, but I guess that is something that modern day dating has kind of taken away, because if you think about our parents and our grandparents, like my grandparents, for example, they met at a regional Victorian kind of church hall and they had this like social once a month, and they met at the social, and when they initially met, they weren't like, oh my gosh, like this is my future husband and wife or whatever. But eventually after a few more socials, they were like, oh, you're actually really cool and... You know, we get along, and then they ended up getting married. We don't really have that kind of. You're either friends, someone's in your friendship group, or you're dating through the apps, and you don't.
I grew up in a small country town. When you say they had a couple of dates, was there just no one else there though?
No, it was. I think there. Were, I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there. But I assume.
Got to give them a try. Got to give them a shot. You know?
Yeah.
Church dances. Maybe that's why we're. What we're missing these days.
Potentially. I'll say this about giving people a shot. This is something that I actively have been trying to do this year. So the first half of this year when I went on a few dates with people, like I went on, first half of this year, I probably went on like
77 dates.
Five or six like first dates. And
okay.
And I didn't go on seconds with them because I was like, nah. And then I was midway through the year, I reevaluated and I was like, probably need to give it more than one in some instances. Like generally, I think you can tell, but I was also in this thing of like, oh, I was comparing a first date to like a previous relationship of 3.5 years. Like, obviously, it's going to feel differently.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, here we go. So then recently I've been like, no, we'll try and go on a couple more dates.
I will say this in a rebuttal to that. I do genuinely think you do know kind of after the first date. Like, I've been with my partner now for 6 years.
And you're still undecided?
No. On the very first date, like, I knew... Like, I want to see you again. I think you're incredible. Mm. Like, you're my, like, I,
what was your, what was your first date though? Was it like what I assume Nick probably did? Was it dinner? Was it a movie? Like, was it just like a really quick kind of, oh, we're getting to know each other. We'll see what happens.
That's not my first date movie.
Is that not what you're, sorry, I haven't been on a first date in, I don't want to think about how long, so I'm not really sure what is entailed in this.
No, I take people out to the middle of the forest and I want to see their survival skills.
It's like, so, the five didn't make it back, hence no second date.
Well, I don't know. I didn't hear from them, so they might have made it back. It's just, you know, who's to say?
We actually went on a road trip for our first
date.
That's
insane.
Yeah, it is insane. And we met on Bumble, and we were chatting back and forth, and I had just moved at the time to Melbourne, and he was like, oh, I'll take you on a road trip to the Yarra Valley because you've never been there. And
so
I was like,
it was Nick.
Totally.
Taking you to the forest.
Oh, yeah, basically.
The Yarra Valley. The forest, I call wineries forests.
And they're actually really fun. That's a great date idea, Nick.
Yeah, interesting. Well, yeah. That was a good move.
So we had this kind of like chat back and forward, and I was like, what if you're a serial killer? And he was like, what if you're a serial killer? And I was like, really good point. So we made this plan to have brunch in like a public area in the middle of Melbourne. And if we got along for brunch and neither of us thought each other was a serial killer, we would go and do the road trip. And then we did the road trip. And then I remember on the way home, so we'd been together for maybe like 4 or 5 hours by this point.
Yeah,
on the way home.
Picked up a hitchhiker and you killed him together because you were both serial killers. And that's what you...
On the way home, we had bought some donuts from this donut shop in Melbourne, and he was like, oh, like, let's have some donuts. And I was like, sweet. And he was driving, and I got the donut out of the bag, and I like pulled apart a little bit of it, and I literally fed him the donut on our first date. And I thought to myself, pardon?
Should a lady in the tramped it?
Yeah, well, you know what, next time. But yeah, no, so in that moment I was like, wow, subconsciously I was like, wow, like we're already so comfortable with each other that I can be like feeding this person a donut and not be like, that's so weird. Mm. So I believe in the kind of first date thing.
Right. Trust my gut more. Mm. Mm-hmm. More first dates, less seconds.
100%. Get him out of here. All right. Girls, line up. Let's go.
If that's what you're taking away from this podcast, that's what you take away. All right, we're done. Best bits for the show included in here. Otherwise, we're back tomorrow with a brand new show, brand new podcast, et cetera, et cetera. Thanks for joining us, Annie, from what was it? Brand Experience?
Brand Experience Lead.
All right. Let's see you're if welcome. She's still there next time she joins us for the fourth time. Hopefully the next day of your life isn't too far away. Bye, everyone. Australian wildlife, something we're all very proud of. It's on our crests, of course. It's our national pride. The one place we don't want to see it is on our roads right now, though, Em, and across regional Victoria. I know we like to complain about our roads, but one of the things that we aren't looking out for on the road enough, it would seem, is the wildlife. I know that driving down the Hume recently, I've seen plenty of roadkill on the side, and it's not a good situation for anyone, the people actually hitting these unfortunate animals or the people that are called out to help and assist when these things do go wrong. And someone who was part of the organisation who was out there doing their best for the wildlife out here is Lisa Palmer, the CEO of Wildlife Victoria. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Nick. Good morning, Em.
All right. Look, bad time at any time, really, to be an animal on the side of the road. Are we seeing it to be especially bad of late? Like, I would imagine across like the COVID times, we weren't on the roads. That would have been a great time to be, I guess, a kangaroo. At the moment, is it especially bad?
Yeah, look, it is especially bad, Nick. And what we're actually seeing is wildlife hit by cars is the most common reason that members of the public call Wildlife Victoria's Emergency Response Service. And really alarmingly, we're now seeing the case volume increase year on year by an average of 30% right across the state. So it's pretty bad.
Yeah, it certainly is. Are there specific areas within Victoria that have higher numbers?
Well, we find that there's very high numbers during school holiday periods, you know, particularly spring and summer, where we've got a lot of people on roads driving in regional Victoria and holidaying, and particularly on roads they may not be familiar with. And, you know, we recently analysed the area around the snowfields, and alarmingly there was a 77% increase just in 1 year in the region around the snowfields for wildlife hit by cars.
Talk us through the situation, Lisa. What happens if, you know, you are in a car and you do accidentally hit something, or something stumbles in front of your path, or you see something injured and it might not necessarily have been you? Like, do we call you? What sort of help is Wildlife Victoria providing?
Absolutely, give us a call. So Wildlife Victoria are available 24/7. So it doesn't matter what time it is, whether it's, you know, 2:30 a.m., you know, 4 a.m., you know, 1 p.m. on a Sunday, we're going to be there and we will help. So the first thing is to pull over, call our Wildlife Victoria Emergency Response Service on 03 8400 7300. One of our emergency response operators will want details from the motorist of what's happened, what species it is, whether the animal's still alive, and then we'll determine the course of action from there. But in most cases, it will involve us needing to send a trained rescue volunteer out to attend to the animal.
Lisa, are there any things that we can do pre that incident? Like, do you have any tips on, you know, specific types of driving, maybe defense driving or something like that, that would help not, like, avoid the incident in the first place?
Ideally, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, absolutely. So the most common species that we see hit by cars are kangaroos, wallabies, wombats and koalas. And all of those animals are marsupials and carry pouch young, and they're obviously quite large animals, but they're often on the move at dusk and dawn. Mm-hmm. So absolutely imperative to avoid driving at dusk and avoid driving at dawn when those native animals are most active. So that would be my first tip and probably most important tip. Secondly, you know, particularly people that might be holidaying on country roads that they're not familiar with is drive slowly. Really watch the sides, of the road, have a passenger in the car watching the sides of the road, but drive to the conditions, don't speed, really slow down in areas where there's going to be a lot of wildlife about. And, you know, of course, at an absolute minimum, put the Wildlife Victoria Emergency Response Service phone number in your phone.
Yeah, perfect.
Prevention's the main key here. Of course, plenty of people who are up nice and early listening to the show probably have had to avoid something on the way in. That's just life living out in regional Vic. Lisa, that phone number again, if we do run ourselves into trouble?
It's 03-8400-7300.
That's Wildlife Victoria. Make sure you give Lisa, her team, a call. Joined right now by the CEO of Wildlife Victoria, Lisa Palmer. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks, Em.
And the algorithm, we talk about it all the time, tells us what we're going to watch on Netflix, what we might listen to on your podcasting app or whatever. Sometimes it also tells you what you might want to buy.
A lot of times, actually. There's a lot of advertising around us.
Yeah, if you're on Instagram or you're on Facebook or whatever, sometimes little ads will pop up and it'll go, hey, you might like to buy this, and it'll throw a product down your throat. I've been targeted with some advertisements lately, and I go, why is that coming to me? Why does anyone want that, let alone me?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you some of the ones that I've been given, Em. Would love to know your thoughts as to why they're being suggested to me, and keep in mind to be kind to me here, because some of them are particularly strange.
Okay, yep.
So one, there's a website called, is it Temu, Temu, T-E-M-U. It's like, it looks like some sort of like Wish-style site where everything's cheap and garbage.
Mm-hmm.
That's been hitting me a lot lately.
So that is because you're cheap and garbage.
Oh, all right. Yeah, this is like a psychological evaluation to me. Well, Timu keeps trying to sell me a white balaclava that says, yes, daddy, embroidered on the forehead.
No.
Yeah, I know. Why is that a thing? Why is that getting made?
That is wild.
And you know what? Every time it comes off of my feed, I go, what is that? Oh, that's what that is again. Yeah. It's just, but then every time I linger and I look at it for too long, the algorithm obviously goes, well, it's clearly into it.
But it's weird that you would be wearing that, or are they suggesting you buy that for someone else?
I guess they...
Because you would be the daddy, right? I mean,
maybe. Who's to say? Maybe next time I see my dad, I'm wearing... another thing that's been suggested to me is a giant triangle made of foam. That's it. Judging by the pictures and the scale in it, this triangle looks to be about 3 meters by 3 meters, like on each side. And it doesn't seem to serve a purpose. It's just a big triangle, like if you're a big fan of the shape.
Could it be some sort of exercise contraption?
It looks too large. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Just a big shape, just for people who are just big fans of geometry, I suppose.
Which you certainly aren't,
Not that I'm aware. I'm notoriously.
Not that I'm aware of.
I'm notoriously anti-shape.
Okay.
You know, I prefer the blob. a third thing that's been targeted to me, it's a really tiny little spoon. It's a really super small spoon that I think it would be safe to say is used for cocaine.
No!
Well, I don't want to be, you know, too generous here with, I guess, maybe it's for very small people.
Or what about salt and pepper?
Yeah, if you find the method of putting salt on your food by shaking the canister too annoying and you'd like to do it by the spoon measurement, then yes, I suppose that's good.
Well, that's an interesting one. I'm not sure why you got advertised that one.
The lice, I've been recommended a lice replica. Like, you know, like the thing you get in your hair, like head lice.
Like how big?
Like, by the looks of it, I bet like the size of a small dog.
No.
It's like a plush toy of a lice.
Why?
Who wants that? Who's like, you know the thing about lice? They're so cute, but I can't cuddle one.
Does your dog, Eleanor, maybe want a larger than life lice?
Do you think she's been using my phone?
Maybe.
And she's been just like, oh, how do I find one of these? Can't get it.
They're so cute when they're tiny, but what if I had one I could snuggle?
My friend, yeah, I don't know. Well, if she is using my phone, it doesn't really explain the last one because a bulge enhancer. It's like a stuffing for if you're wearing a Speedo.
You're lying.
No, it's been
Nick,
suggested.
I can't believe you've told us this on air. Like, this is your algorithm. You have made this happen.
I haven't Googled
whatever
it.
You believe you haven't Googled, the internet gave you this. It gave you this for
this
a reason.
This is effectively like reading your star sign.
Yes.
It's telling you stuff that you don't know about yourself. But anyway, my checkout is full and I'll let you know in a few days when they get here.
Are you ready to have your life changed?
Me? Everyone?
You and anyone listening that needs their life changed.
All right, Victoria, buckle up.
If you, like me, struggle to make time to get to the gym or to even just do any kind of, you know, maybe go for a walk, a jog, etc., I may have found a solution.
To fitting that into your daily schedule?
Yes.
That is very handy.
You may have noticed this morning I walked in and I was a little tired, more tired than usual.
Sure.
It's because in my sleep, I believe that I performed potentially anywhere from half an hour to an hour's long exercise. Yes. Mind blown. Huge.
How long did you say you suspect that you did?
I reckon probably like half an hour to an hour.
Of exercise whilst you're sleeping?
Yes. How do I know this?
Did you film yourself sleeping?
No, but one, I woke up more tired than usual. That's a big one. Two, I usually stay in one spot on my bed, right? Mm. Stay on one side and I just don't move. When I go to sleep, I wake up in the same spot. This morning, I woke up on the opposite side of the bed and my head was at the opposite end of the bed. So during the night, I have rotated my body like 180 degrees.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you were like, the only solution is that I was exercising.
Well, that is exercise, right? That's movement while asleep. I didn't wake up. And so I'm thinking a couple more weeks of this and I'm going to have abs.
I suppose if you were doing in life the really the bare minimum exercise.
Uh-huh.
Like you didn't move all day.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden at night you did move, you know, 180 degrees. I suppose it would then technically count as exercise.
I think you don't know what I was doing though. I could have been doing some like casual, you know, arm rotations to get there or maybe a couple of like flutter kicks to get around the bed.
This is barely ex. This is a lot like when people go, "Oh, I went for a walk as my exercise." And I'm like, "Oh, do more."
Well, I would say do less, right? Just go to sleep more. I'm thinking we can turn this into like a business model, like an exercise, sellable exercise. Where
come to Em's bed for a quick, this actually would work as more as a pickup line than anything. Like, hey, you want to get a workout in? Go, come back to my bed. I swear to God, I'll have six packs by the morning. If you had to ban your partner from something, one man taking the internet by storm, he's banned his girlfriend from farting because apparently it happens way too much, way too often, way too loud, way too smelly.
Don't get it. Can't relate. I mean, I can relate heavily to being the partner.
Yeah.
But if you're banning that, come on.
Well, this is my thing. It's like, I get, yeah, you don't want to have those sort of rules in a relationship. But, surely if it's, you know, resulting in a ban, it must be getting pretty out of hand. Right?
I don't know.
Do you think, there's a limit on how much fighting one can do in a household.
What's the limit? Where's the limit? The limit does not exist.
131060, if you've been banned by your partner for a behavior or something you're doing, let us know on the phones. I've been banned from... In a previous relationship, my ex, whenever she yawned, I wasn't allowed to move because there's a game that I would play where whenever she yawned, I would put my finger in her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Just be like, gotcha.
Yeah, that's a ban I can get behind.
Stay on your toes.
That's banned.
That certainly was banned. And then she started doing it to me and then I had to ban it. It was a reciprocated ban. Let's go to the phones right now, 131060. We've got Jeff, mate. Jeff, what have you had to ban in a relationship?
Our carpet.
Your carpet?
What does that mean, Jeff?
Because, you know, it's just too much comfort on the feet and we've had to get rid of it because, you know, got to keep us on our toes.
That's so, I don't know, is this supposed to be a strange joke, Jeff, or have you actually banned carpet?
No, we've actually banned our carpet.
Because your feet have been coddled too much by the comfort.
Yeah, pretty much.
So is it like the floor is lava and in your house you're just not allowed to walk on carpet?
Or do you have to wear shoes around the house?
We've actually stripped all the carpet from our house. So now it's, you know... Just the wood of the floor.
Whoa!
Why? How does that conversation go, Jeff? That's a weird thing to ban.
Yeah, no, it was kind of a strange thing to bring up, but, you know, we both kind of agreed that it's just better to have wooden floors. One, because, you know, during the winter, you keep your socks on and, you know...
I mean, you can keep your socks on carpet as well. You know, no one's out there enforcing the rules on you, Jeff. Thanks for the call, mate. So strange.
It's so bizarre.
I'm not quite sure if that's a prank of Jeff.
Was Jeff pranking us? Is Jeff's somehow? Name even Jeff? I don't know.
131060, let us know if you've had to ban your partner from doing something or your partner's banned something at home or whatever it might be, the situation. Maybe it's banned farting. Maybe it's just weird little behaviours. Let us know. Let's go out right now to Drew with Audrey. Audrey, what have you had to ban from your partner?
Oh, I wasn't banned from anything, but I had to ban my partner from our mixed netball team.
All right. What was he up to? What happened that resulted in the banning?
It was far too competitive. Didn't want to be part of the team initially and then came on board and just ran away with it each week. Disregarded the rules, just took it and ran. Had a great time, but just Well, not in the spirit of mixed netball.
So very competitive, but didn't exactly know how to actually play the sport.
No, which sometimes isn't necessarily a problem in mixed netball.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's loose rules around it, but yeah, you just grab it and would like throw the ball the whole length of the court, wouldn't acknowledge his position. He was very funny and was great to watch. But
yeah, got a ban. Audrey, how does the conversation go when you have to say, "Hey, I'd prefer it if you stopped rocking up"?
It was awkward because initially I said you can't play. Like we're full. You know, we won't need you in the next couple of games. But then he started coming to support.
Oh yeah,
and he was far too competitive.
Even on the sidelines.
Yeah. And then he got traded to the other team and now he's a competitor. Could you imagine? Wild stuff.
Now he's beating you each and every week.
That's how competitive. I don't care about the relationship. I just care about winning in mixed netball. Audrey, thanks for the call.
That's okay, guys. Thank you.
Up on the border right now to Thaguna with Josh there. Bans from your partner up there, mate?
Yeah, mate. So similar to what you were talking about earlier, I have a household rule with my partner. We've been together for 6 years today. And no farting allowed, full stop, from him or any of his extended family.
Josh, how is that possible?
How do you enforce that?
Yeah.
So not so much enforced. It was pretty
Threats of divorce if the back door opens up, though.
Well, look, if you met his father-in-law, you'd understand.
A windy man.
Yes, correct. So I think just early days in dating, it was just pretty clear that I found it quite crass. That I felt that there was an easier way if that needed to happen, that it didn't just need to let rip on the couch, for example, just to try and keep some of the romance alive.
Yeah, so you can go to another room, go to the fart room, and then take care of business out there. And that's how it's worked out. 6 years.
Yeah, amazing.
Congratulations to Josh from Thaguna. To round things out, we've got Jamie in Bendigo. Jamie, what's the ban?
So it's not actually me that's banned Mum when we go up there. She's actually banned him from putting his coffee in his coffee first. He has to put the sugar.
What's the reasoning behind this from your mum, Jamie?
So Mum's sick of going to the sugar and having them clumps in it.
Oh.
Sorry, it's a rule now that he has to put coffee first. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I get what you're saying, because the spoon gets wet when you stir through the coffee and then you put the wet spoon into the sugar and then you get clumpy sugar.
Yeah.
Now it's just like second nature to him. He just does it.
Yeah, well, that's a classic example of bands working.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so no farting. Make sure you get your coffee correct. No mixed netball.
Mm-hmm.
And
no carpets.
Absolutely no carpet.
Nick and Jules. That was the Nick and Jules podcast. Frustrated by the lack of disability support workers in your area? Visit caresolutions.com.au.